Could the universe have created itself? Or is a god necessary for that? Stay tuned and find out on Unapologetic. It's common today to hear about the conflict between science and faith, generally when it comes to our origins, where we came from. A lot of people think that the Bible says that we were created in 6 literal days, and this flies in the face of modern science. Now, in future weeks, we might talk about Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, 2 conflicting creation accounts, and look at ways to possibly harmonize them, or at the least, understand them in their context. But today, I want to talk about the scientific evidence that actually greatly supports the Christian worldview. The fact that we're here is one of the greatest evidences for God's existence. Our existence is a great evidence for God's existence. We're going to look at one of my favorite arguments for God's existence. And by argument, I just mean a well-reasoned case, not something where people are yelling at each other. But before we get too far in, I want to explain what this can and cannot do. This argument will demonstrate that there is a God. It will not demonstrate that the God of the Bible is that God. However, for many people, going from no God to there is a God is a huge step. We started out looking at truth, and now we're going to look at God existing. We've already looked at some evidence for the reliability of the Bible. All of these pieces can come together when you're making a case to someone that Christianity is the best explanation for reality. So, this argument for God's existence that we're going to look at today, it's called the Kalam Cosmological Argument. Don't be turned off by the name that you probably haven't heard. Kalam is actually an Arabic word that just means speech. And cosmological, that just refers to the cosmos, the universe, if you will. And this is a very simple argument. It's just 3 sentences. Whatever begins to exist has a cause. The universe began to exist. Therefore, the universe has a cause. For the remainder of this episode, we're going to look at ways to support that argument. But what's worth noting is you can teach this to a 7-year-old, to a 5-year-old. And in fact, it's easier for some 5-year-olds to believe this than it is for people in their 30s. Studies have shown that there's actually a natural instinct inside of us as humans that we're born with to see creation in things that are actually created. And this sadly gets trained out of people due to our secular influences in society. But you can go as deep into this argument or as shallow as you want. But what it basically says is that everything that comes into existence has a cause. The universe came into existence. Therefore, the universe must have had a cause. Now, right off the bat, we can rule some potential causes out. The cause of the universe cannot have been something in the universe. Because before the universe existed, there was nothing in it that could create itself, right? It's like saying, I'm my father. Well, in order for me to be my father, I would have had to been around before I was around. So there's just a logical problem there. And in fact, Stephen Hawking has actually said something similar. Due to the law of gravity, the universe can and will create itself out of nothing. Well, you can be really smart like Stephen Hawking. He's far smarter than I am. But you don't get to say stupid stuff like that without people analyzing your claim and just coming to realize that there are grave logical problems with it. But continuing on, whatever begins to exist has a cause. This matches reality and experience and reason. And it makes much more sense than the atheist position, which would say that the universe came into existence uncaused and from nothing. Philosopher William Lane Craig has said, such a belief like that is worse than magic. In a magic trick where a magician pulls a rabbit out of a hat, at least you've got a magician, and you've got a hat, and a rabbit appears. But on this universe is coming into existence uncaused and from nothing, there's nothing that's creating something. And that doesn't make any sense. It takes more faith to believe in that than it does that there is a creator God out there somewhere who created everything. That makes more logical sense. Now, when I say that this matches our experience, what I mean is we don't experience things popping into existence uncaused and from nothing. Every event that we see has a cause. When someone knocks on the door, you don't say, who's there? And your wife says, well, no one. The knock knocked itself, right? No, not at all. So we don't see animals popping into existence out of nothing, stars or cars or Pavarotti or pretzels. Nothing pops into existence without a cause, and certainly not from nothing. So why do some people want to say that the only exception to that rule is everything itself in the form of the universe? Well, that doesn't make any sense. Now, premise two, the universe began to exist. What this really means is that the past is not infinite. There was a time at which time began, if you will, that the past does not go on forever. And one of the great proofs for this that we can use to support this premise of the argument is the expansion of the universe. The universe is actually getting bigger. Now, when Einstein was working on one of his theories, he noted that the math, the physics, showed that the universe was expanding, and he didn't believe that it actually was. He thought it was constant in size, not getting smaller, not getting bigger, constant. And so he added a constant to his equations, a fudge factor, if you will, so that the math, the physics, all kind of worked out to show that the universe was in a constant state. It wasn't getting bigger. Interestingly enough, though, you know, his math had showed that it was getting bigger. And around the same time, Edwin Hubble at the National Observatory was looking through his large telescope, for which our Hubble telescope is named, and he was looking at objects in the sky that were far, far away. And he noticed that these objects looked a little more red than they should have. And he came to understand that this meant that the objects were moving away from him, from Earth. And it didn't matter what object in the sky he looked at, they were all moving away from us. And he came to understand that what Einstein had initially stumbled on was correct, that the universe, indeed space itself, is expanding. Now, that's a cool story, and there's actually a pretty cool picture of Einstein coming to look through Hubble's telescope to see the visual confirmation of what he had theorized. But the fact that the universe is expanding points to it being smaller when we go back in the past, and smaller yet, until you go back far enough, and it's infinitely small. It takes up the space of one point in space, that is, of infinite density. And then it expanded from there. But the fact that it's constantly getting bigger means it hasn't reached an infinite size, so the past cannot be infinite. Another evidence that we could use to say that the universe had a beginning is the lack of equilibrium in the universe. There are differences in heat. There are differences in speed. And what we would expect is for everything to be the same temperature and not to have movement, to have what physicists would call heat death, to have reached equilibrium. This is what happens when you take ice cream out of the freezer and you put it on the counter. The room gets a little cooler and the ice cream gets a lot hotter until they reach the same temperature. They reach equilibrium. Well, if the universe were infinitely old, this would have happened to the universe also. So what we see is that the universe began to exist. And since everything that begins to exist has a cause, and the universe began to exist, the universe must have had a cause. Now, without using the Bible, without using anything else, we can come to learn something about that cause. One, it must be immaterial. It cannot be physical. Because all physical material came into existence when the universe came into existence, at the Big Bang. So, the first thing we know about this cause is it's immaterial. The second thing we must know is that it had to be personal. It had to make a choice to create. It has to be very powerful. I don't think anyone would say that you could create a universe and not be powerful. It also must be intelligent. This universe works remarkably well. It doesn't seem like some haphazard accident. So we know four things about this cause: powerful, intelligent, immaterial, and personal. So what does that kind of sound like to you? That sounds a whole lot like God to me. And it sounds a whole lot like God to other people too, which is why this argument has been used for centuries. It was first used by Islamic scholars around the 12th century to argue for the existence of Allah. Now remember, this argument only proves the existence of a God. It doesn't tell you which God is he, whether it's Allah or Yahweh of the Bible. But it does take us remarkably far. So I think this is just a very good argument that you can use. You can use with your children. You can use with the 45-year-old PhD. You can use it with anyone. It's remarkably simple. Now, inevitably, someone will say, well, who created God? So God created the universe? Well, who made him? Well, there are a couple ways to handle this. Depending on how good of a sense of humor the person has, you could say, how much does yellow weigh? Does blue smell good? And you could keep going with that type of nonsense talk, and they're going to say, what are you talking about? Well, here's the thing. Asking how much a color weighs is a category error. You're asking about a type of property that that object can't have. Colors don't have weights. Colors also don't have smells. If they do, you should probably see a doctor. Well, in the same way, it's a category error to ask when an uncreated being was created. In this conversation you're having with this non-Christian, they don't think God was created because they don't think he exists. And you don't think God was created either. So no one in this conversation thinks God was created. All the argument says, all the cosmological argument says, is that anything that begins to exist has a cause. Well, God never began to exist. He has always existed. And just because we don't have an explanation for that doesn't mean we're not justified in believing that God created everything. There's also this tendency today to say, unless you can explain every part of a system or a chain of events, you're not justified in believing it. Well, what's amusing to me is that the person making this is standing firmly planted on terra firma, on Earth, while they make this claim. And they're standing there, and they're not floating away because of the force of gravity. But physicists don't know why gravity exists or why it works. Yes, we have some equations that can model it, but we don't understand it fundamentally. And yet, we still do great feats with it. We put people on the moon because we can calculate gravity, we can work with it, but we don't understand why it exists. Well, in the same way, I think we can make a parallel. We can understand what God did, that he created, but we're not going to understand everything about him or how it works for a being to have always existed and not had a beginning. But my main point in this is, it's not logically contradictory to say that God did not have a beginning, but the universe did. The science supports it. Even the recent discovery in the last year or so of gravity waves points to the universe having a beginning, which raises the question, where did it come from? Well, I hope you've seen today on Unapologetic that there is a very simple and powerful argument for God's existence that you can use with the young, with the old, with the educated, with the uneducated. That whatever comes into existence has a cause. The universe came into existence, therefore the universe has a cause. Personally, in my moments of doubt, brief as they may be, this is one of the things I turn to just kind of reground myself, to recenter and say, yes, Christianity makes sense. It makes so much more sense to say that there's a God than that there isn't, because we're here. Well, if this episode of Unapologetic has been helpful to you, share it on Facebook. Leave a review on iTunes or retweet it on Twitter or something like that. Help other people get the same news and information that has been helpful to you. Well, I hope to see you next time on Unapologetic.